The following podcast is not safe for work. It's graphic and for adults only. Thanks for listening.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and it was hard, but we made it happen. This week, we have a story from Chicago storyteller Brooke Woolery. Okay, this is important. I'm telling you at the very top of the show to make sure that you are part of our next live stream. You know why? Because Body Storytelling is the official after party of Folsom Street Fair. Folsom Street Fair is the largest kink event in the world by a magnitude of I don't know how many, but it is huge. It is a street fair that typically happens in person here in San Francisco. People fly in from all over the world to be part of this celebration of being who the fuck you are. And this year it's digital. So after a day of Folsom Street Fair, which will happen on Sunday, September 27th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time, you will have a day of channels, the main channel. You will have a day of kink positive events. This will be hosted by sex positive superstar Margaret Cho. And then at the end of the day, they're going to say, that's it, y'all. Time to go to the after party. Join us at Body Storytelling, Sunday, September 27th, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Please get your tickets as soon as possible. It's a huge event, and I want you there. Zoom capacity is limited. We can only have so many people, and I want you to be one of those people. So you can go to the show notes for this episode. You can go to our website, but make sure you get your tickets as soon as possible, and make sure you tell your friends about this event. It is a big deal to be part of Folsom Street Fair. Our Folsom event last year was our biggest show possibly ever, and now we are official. We are on the bill for Folsom, which means a lot more people are going to be coming to Body Storytelling. Get your tickets, and I'll see you soon. Hey there, how'd your Labor Day weekend go? I had a conversation this weekend with an old friend that has had me thinking, and I desperately need your advice. I love it when you guys write me. I love it when you send me voice memos. I love it when you write me emails. And this is a question that I don't know what to do with, so I'd love to know what you think. This past weekend, an old friend from Atlanta, Georgia contacted me. She has been a lesbian for, 35 years, has been married to a woman for the last 20 years. And that relationship has been long distance and sexless. Loves her partner, but has always had a bit of a, I'm not going to say curiosity, because she may be labeled as lesbian because she's married to a woman, but really she's bisexual. And she has started having an affair with someone who lives nearby. And the questions were more about the physiological aspects of not having had a penis inside her for 20 years. She asked me some questions about what she could do to make it easier. She was saying she had feelings she hadn't had in a very long time. And she said she called me, even though it had been years since we talked, because she knew that I wouldn't judge her. And she knew that I had the best advice for her, for anybody who was in her world. I actually spent about a half an hour explaining the concept of polyamory to her, which she'd never heard of before. And there are many kinds of polyamory, but I explained the basic one, the basic tenet, which is loving more than one person. You can love your partner, and you can love this new person too. And she'd never heard of it. She asked me how to spell it. And toward the end of the conversation, she's like, Dix, have you thought about doing this? I know that you're really struggling because you can't do shows anymore and the pandemic is hitting you really hard. Have you thought about offering this to your listeners or to people who don't have someone who's so accepting and so knowledgeable in their life? And I really hadn't thought about that. And so I'm now considering it. It would be a way for people to get some help. I know that the waiting list for getting a therapist is crazy long because everybody is so overwhelmed. I don't have a therapist right now, but I'm working on that. My partner just got a therapist because his mother is dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and he needs someone to talk to. But for a lot of people, they don't have anyone to talk to. And they don't have anyone in their life that they can talk about these things and know that they are not only discreet, but they are long distance, possibly. But more than anything, they can listen and give advice if it's desired. So I am considering doing this. I'm not sure what to charge. I'm not sure how to set it up. But before I get to that, I'd like to know if it makes sense. And you're someone who listens to this podcast all the time. You know what I do. You know what body storytelling is and how empowering it is to just tell your story. So rather than getting on a stage and rather than learning story coaching, a huge part of what I do with my storytellers is listen and help them figure out what that's about, what that story really means to them. And it makes sense that that is a transferable skill, but I'm not sure. So I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to have your advice. I'm Dixie at bodystorytelling.com. Let me know what you think, okay? One final thing. The high point of my week thus far is we just got a new best of from Mashable. I'm going to include a link to it in the show notes. I was so excited because Mashable is huge. It's a huge outlet. And it means we're getting accepted in mainstream press. We're getting on some really major publications' radar. It might mean on the other side of the pandemic, if body can make it to the other side of the pandemic, that huge things are waiting. I'll include the link to the Mashable review. They wrote some great things and I'd love to share them with you. September is Sexual Health Awareness Month. We tend to talk a lot about physical health and mental health, but what about our sexual health? Whether you take a walk, meditate, or hit the gym, if you want to take care of your whole self, you need to prioritize your pleasure along with your body and mind. And you can put your well-being first with Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever or whatever you're into. Find stories about that sexy yoga instructor, you know the one, or even stories about experimenting in the bedroom, or maybe getting tied up. And for listeners of the Body Storytelling Podcast, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/DIXIE. Their wellness sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. And remember, it's stories, so act now. They add new ones every week, like Hot Vinyasa, Corey and Ty from Ride or Die, or relaxing into a new self-pleasure technique guided by psychologist and breathwork expert Eva Kazor. Spice things up today. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/Dixie. It's time to settle in with a story. But before we settle in with the story, I want to tell you about how hard this story was to get. I can't believe I actually have it to share with you because sometimes in the world of producing live events, shit goes wrong. That's a groundbreaking realization, isn't it? Remember back in 2019, in fall of 2019, when I went on tour and I took body storytelling to cities like New York, and Los Angeles and Chicago. I was very excited about my Chicago show. I had a venue that I knew nothing about, but it was huge. That was intimidating. And our Midwest audience was really excited to have Body. I had people who traveled 5 or 6 hours. Some people flew in from Florida to come see our show in Chicago. I worked really hard and was introduced to a storyteller through a producer in the Chicago area and loved her story. Such a great show. People were so excited, so many standing ovations. It was such a great vibe. I hung out for like 2 hours after the show, hugging people. Remember hugging people? Saying hi to fans who'd written me, having a drink, having people buy me shots. And the next morning, I get home with the recordings because the recordings are handled by the sound engineer at the venue. I sent them off to Marty, and we found out that the sound engineer had no idea what they were doing because the sound files were gone. I was really upset. When you produce a great show and you lose it for eternity, you get really upset. So when I decided to shift to live streaming when the pandemic hit, back in April, the first person I asked to tell a story on the live stream was this storyteller. Now remember, it was my very first live stream show, and there was a learning curve. We only had one problem throughout the show, and that one problem happened during her story. We lost video feed. I was so concerned we lost the audio feed. People loved the story on the live stream. And it turns out that finally, it's all come together. And I do have that recording of the story told on the live stream. I finally have this story for you. Can you imagine telling a story this moving while your computer's glitching out, while you're losing the feed, while everything is going wrong? She was so composed. She was a total professional. And I'm so glad that I can share it with you. So let me tell you about your storyteller. Brooke Woolery, a resident of Chicago for nearly 10 years, has always been a performer. She started singing at the age of 5 and fell in love with the stage from there. She hopes that her stories offer a message of empowerment, as we could all use a little bit more of that. When she's not performing, Brooke loves anything from cooking, traveling, going to shows, or discovering new creative outlets. She describes herself as an Oxford dictionary in the street and an urban dictionary in the sheets. Okay, y'all, get ready. This storyteller is Brooke Woolery.
Thank you all so much. So the lights are dim and I'm on my knees. Surrounded by half-finished paintings, my hands grip his belt loops. As I slide his pants down his legs, in front of me is the most beautiful dick I have ever seen. This is all thanks to getting fired from the Olive Garden. Getting caught drinking on the job for the fourth time, my managers had no choice but to let me go. The walls were already closing in around me because I had a pile of unpaid bills. I was really behind on my rent. And that meant I had to leave Pittsburgh, the place that I had called home for the last 2 years. And that also meant I had to make a call I really didn't want to make. You see, my parents and I did not have a good relationship at the time. So when I called them to ask them if I could move back home, they were pretty hesitant in agreeing. But I found myself in the last place that I wanted to be. My hometown of Fairchance, Pennsylvania is small. When I say the pickings are slim, this could literally apply to anything. Places to go, things to do, jobs to get, men to fuck. But luckily, I killed two birds with one stone. I took the first job at a shitty call center that I could, and I met Zach. It was about a month into my job, and in the cubicle in front of me plops down this tall version of James Franco with skinny jeans and hipster glasses. He was fresh out of the newest training class, and he told me that he lived in the next town over in a cottage that he had inherited from his grandmother. He was an artist, a painter, And after several months of flirtation, I found myself creating these wild imaginations of driving in his hatchback Honda Civic away from this town and leaving it in our dust. When he wasn't at work, it was palpable. And on one of those particularly lonely nights where I wished that I had eyes to make at him across the partition, a text flashed across my screen. It was Zach. And he said, "Want to come over?" I pull up to his house, and it's the cutest thing that it was more cute than I could ever imagine. There were these little flowers and plants outside that I thought that his late grandmother had probably planted. He opens the door and offers me a beer. And when I walk in, I'm greeted by this grandma furniture everywhere in various floral patterns. There's a painting on the wall with pollock-esque splatters of mustard yellow and gray. And I say, "Did you paint this?" His grin grew wider, and he says, "Yes." He led me out to the back porch that has an uninterrupted view of the Appalachian Mountains. And as we sat there in the sunset, we listened to music and cracked open a 12-pack. And I found myself laughing harder than I had laughed in such a long time. And I began to think, maybe it's not this town that's the problem. Maybe I just needed to find the right person. This isn't so bad. And as we crossed the threshold of the door, he leaned in and he kissed me, and it felt electric. He leads me down a hallway into a bedroom filled with half-finished paintings on easels and on the floor. There's a four-poster brass bed frame in the middle that I assumed was also his grandmother's. He dimmed the lights and put on an MGMT album, which I thought was so hot. He takes off his shirt, and I licked him from his neck all the way down to his still-buckled belt. I wanted to take every moment to taste every inch of him. He took my bra and my shirt off, and he starts pinching my nipples and fondling my breasts, which is just like my kryptonite. I get on my knees, and not disappointed with the beautiful dick that's in front of me, I take him into my mouth, and he groans. His knees buckle to the point where he needs to sit on the edge of the bed. And I realized I could not wait another moment to have this man inside me. So I stand up and I take my pants off and I rip my panties off, and I'm standing there as excited as I could possibly be and as confident as I had been in such a long time, because this man wanted me and I wanted him. But as my eyes focus forward, I was so confused. The rock hard dick that I had in my mouth no more than 10 seconds ago was flaccid. Okay, so I reach for him to get him hard, and he scoots uncomfortably to the left. So even more confused, I'm thinking, all right, maybe it's the alcohol. Maybe he's nervous. Maybe this is just an issue for him, and so I ask, "Are you okay?" And his big brown eyes no longer meeting mine, he says in the most disappointed and flat tone, "I knew you were fat. I just didn't know you were that fat." And in the moment, the floor fell out from under me. I'm gathering clothes as quickly as I can because number one priority is getting out of there. I'm not even bothering with my bra or my socks. His back is to me while he puts his boxers on, and he mumbles under his breath, "I think you should go." "Don't worry, buddy, I'm way ahead of you." As I rush down the hallway, desperately searching for my purse, I'm biting my lip because I know that the tears are inevitable. But he didn't even come out of the fucking room to see me off. Honestly, I appreciated it, because by the time I reached the door, the tears had spilled over my eyes. And by the time I reached my car, they turned into full-on sobs. And on the drive, I'm just reminding myself that you're such a failure. It's your fault that you're here. It's your fault that you're in this small shit town. It's your fault that you're fat. It's your fault that even in a place with such low standards, you're still not enough. It wasn't enough to be driving away from Zach's, because I was still in a place that reminded me what an utter failure my life was. In a state of hysterics, I called a friend in Chicago, and I'm like, "Can I please just come and stay with you? I'm happy to stay on a couch if that means being away from this place." She agreed. And the next morning, I drove to Chicago with a bag of clothes and a pair of shoes. And I never looked back. And the first week I'm here, I'm feeling all of this rage and anger. I'm in this big, beautiful city, and I don't even want to go outside. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to see anything. I just lived in my misery and hatred for myself. My friends finally convinced me to come to a party. Maybe I'll have fun. So I get to the party, and as I'm standing there with all of this anxiety and rage inside me, I'm looking at everybody having a great time, and in the corner is this man, this heavily tattooed version of Billy Corgan, standing in the corner. And he's making those eyes at me that, you know, he only wants one thing. And everything within me is just saying, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this. Men are trash. I'm not doing this. But he's making his way over to me, and he smiles, and he says, how come I've never seen you here before? I'm Jake. My side eye is strong at this point, and I ask him why, and he says, because you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And at that point, my eyes roll so far into the back of my head, and all of this anger and rage and hatred for myself bubbles up, and I just defensively say to him, what, because I'm fat, I'm easy? And he's so confused. He says, I don't think you're easy. And for the record, I'm just not interested in the skinny ones. Well, that caught me off guard enough to listen. He told me that it's not necessarily a fat fetish. He just likes his women to be soft. And in talking to him, I found myself and my guard coming down a little bit more to where I'm like, is this okay? But I still don't know. What am I doing here? He tells me that he lives around the corner and he has a beautiful view of Wrigley Field. And not known for making the best life choices, I decide to go with him. And as we walked into his apartment with a futon on the floor and camping chairs as his living room furniture, I'm wondering, what the hell am I doing? But when we walked out to the balcony, he did have a beautiful view of Wrigley Field. And I felt that he was hard when he came up behind me and pressed himself against my ass. But when he wanted to wrap his arms around my waist, my first instinct was to suck in my belly and move away, because who wants that? Who wants to touch that? But he never missed a beat. He lifted up my dress, and he marveled at my rolls. He kissed me from my neck all the way down and back up again. And when he led me inside, I found all of those insecurities melting away, because I had never had someone who wanted me because of my body. People usually just looked past my body. And I came harder than I had ever came before that night because of what he did for me. He worshipped every lump, bump, and dimple as if they were sacred. And it made me realize that for every Zach in the world, there is a Jake. And I'm not only worthy of love, I'm deserving of love. I'm the painter of my own image, and my body is a work of art. Thank you.
Yes.
I keep it juicy, juicy. I eat that lunch. She keep that booty, booty. She keep that pump, yeah. That natural beauty, beauty, yeah, yeah. If you could see it from the front, we tell you see it from the back, 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 juicy. Back, back, yeah. Back, 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 juicy. Back, 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 juicy. If you could see it from the front, we tell you see it from the back, yeah. He like it thick, he like it fat, yeah. Like to keep on wanting more.
If you could see it from the front, we'd tell you.
last overdose, you bring it back, back, back. I'm a big dog trying to eat the kitty cat, cat. I'ma slide in the way it fit, I could tell we match. All about my racks, hella cheese, I don't fuck with rats. Big crib in Hollywood, I don't even act. Come relax, let a nigga tap, hit you on the app. Take a low, with the wipe the pain away. Juicy and it's tighter than a virgin like Madonna said. I love when you give in, I love when you don't. Hit me with the threesome and sometimes you won't. Sometimes. You told me don't fuck with no bitches, you know. Nah. You got it, yeah, you got it, baby, bust it on the floor.
I keep it juicy, juicy. I eat that lunch, she keep that booty, booty. She keep that pump, yeah. That natural beauty, beauty, yeah, yeah. If you could see it from the front, wait till you see it from the back, yeah. In the night, he see that in the dark and in the right. He keep that, keep it running like a plum. He need that, need the up and need the thighs. He eat that up and in the night. He see that in the dark and in the right. He keep that, keep it running.
I keep it juicy, juicy.
I eat that lunch. Yeah. She keep that booty, booty. She keep that plump. Yeah.
That song was Juicy by Doja Cat featuring Tyga. I just added a new hour-long interview to my Sex Positive Luminary series over on Patreon. Patreon is where everything body storytelling lives these days. It's a place for you to watch the live stream replays. It's a place to see private interviews just for you as a Patreon supporter. And if you support us on Patreon, you get free live stream tickets too. That Folsom Street Fair live stream that's coming up, you get free tickets to that if you support us at Patreon. At the $10 a month level, you get free live stream tickets, you get free live stream replays, you get special private interviews, you get story coaching access, and I'm working on new stuff right now. So go to patreon.com/body, support us at whatever level you can. It's getting us through the pandemic. That's how body continues. That's how we'll be here on the other side of this, waiting for you. Thanks so much for your support. It's the end of the episode. It means it's going to be a whole nother week before I get to talk to you, but I want to say thank you to the people who've made this podcast possible. I get to talk to you every week because of the magic produced by Marty Garcia. Not just the magic of the podcast, but also the magic of the live stream. The beautiful live stream, the September 27th Folsom Street Fair After Party live stream. Make sure you buy your tickets as soon as possible because he's got special plans for this one. Thank you to video archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to our pre-show video producer, Donal Mooney. He's making some great little pre-show movies for our live stream. They are a thing of beauty. And thank you to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling friends about this podcast. We are making something really special. I mean, I might be biased, but Mashable says so, and the London Times says so, and Oprah Magazine says so. A lot of people say so, so it must be true, right? I'm going to choose to believe it for just this week. That's going to hold me over until I get to talk to you next week. So share this episode with a friend, write us a review. Makes me so excited when you write me a review. And I will talk to you again in a week. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 140 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'll be back really soon with another episode. Have a great week.